Before we get started with this afternoon service or this afternoon message, I'm just going to read one verse. It's not really an expositional message because we're continuing our series through the Catechism. But this is one of the scripture proofs that we will come back to, and particularly one little phrase within it. In Hebrews 1:3, it says of Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And the proof text really is that one little phrase, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And that's a proof text for the doctrine of providence. That God is, through Christ, upholding all things by the word of his power. Well, we're continuing today, this afternoon, our series of these meditations on the Spurgeon's Baptist Catechism. And we've previously looked at the fact that there is a God, that he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and that he is a decreeing God, and that he executes his decrees, he carries out his decrees in the works of creation and providence. In the last two Lord's Days, we looked at creation, how God created all things by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And we looked last Lord's Day in particular at his creation, special creation of man, as the only one of part of the creation that's made in God's own image. And now we sort of turn the corner and we're looking at the doctrine of providence. And so this question today focuses us on the important doctrine of providence. Certainly the concept of providence is one that is particularly treasured by believers. In fact, it's interesting when we had Gordon Taylor from ARBCA come visit us. And I looked at the ARBCA newsletter, at the list of all the churches that are part of that. There's not a lot of creativity with the names of churches. There were a lot of Grace Baptist churches, and there were, guess what? Providence Baptist Church was just so many Providence Baptist churches. So we tend to think that when a congregation emerges, it was by the providence of God. It was part of the planning, the engineering of God. But question 11 in the Catechism is this: what are God's works of providence? And the answer given is, God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. And we're going to be meditating on, what is providence this afternoon? Again, the word providence is a bit like the theological word Trinity. Trinity is not a word that appears in the Bible, but the concept does appear. Matthew 28:19-20. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity isn't there, but the concept is there. And it's sort of like that with providence. It's not so much that this word appears frequently in the Bible. In fact, when I did a word search of the Authorized Version, the word providence appears only once at Acts 24:2. But it's the concept, and particularly the verb to provide, the noun provision, the concept frequently appears. I'm going to make a lot of references today. It's been a while since I've done this, to Thomas Watson. One of the things I read was Watson's Body of Divinity on this question of providence. And he had just some wonderful zingers, which I'll share with you as we move through this. But Thomas Watson defined providence as God's ordering all issues and events of things after the counsel of his will to his own glory. And he notes that God's ordering, his providence, his providing, is different from his decreeing. With providence, the emphasis is on the way God provides for, upholds, and sustains all that he has decreed and all that he has created. Here's one little Watson quote. He said, God is like an artificer, by that he means a builder or a contractor, that builds a house. God is not like an artificer that builds a house and then leaves it. But he is like a pilot who steers the ship of the whole creation. So it's not like the deistic view would be God would be like a house builder. He builds the world and then he just walks away from it. It's there. I'm done with it. But he said the analogy for God is that he is a captain who is steering the ship of creation. And didn't we see about that ship in Italy, the cruise ship that fell over on its side because of the negligence of the captain? He wasn't watching out for it. Wasn't watching out for the people on board. But God, the God of the Scriptures, is a good captain who not only has created the ship and all its inhabitants, but he remains to steer it and to control it and to guide it and direct it and provide for it. Now, this is the idea that's there in Hebrews 1:3 when it says that God through Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. You ever thought about this? If God were to drop his providential care for this world, all things would collapse in a millisecond. If God wanted to give up on creation, it would all be gone in a second. Watson said, if God's providence should be withdrawn, but for a while, creatures would be dissolved and run into their first nothing. Think of all those atheists who rail and say, there is no God. He could, in a heartbeat, take their lives away. He could wrap up the whole world like we wrap up a piece of waste paper and ball it up and throw it into the basket. If he wanted to. And not only does he have that power, but everything that he says, every breath we're drawing, is all coming from, it's all being provided. He is upholding the world by the word of his power. Here's another Watson quote. He says, our clothes would not warm us. Our food would not nourish us without the special providence of God. Our clothes wouldn't warm us. Our food wouldn't nourish us without God's provision. The doctrine of providence also reminds us that we are not the victims of blind fate. The Christian and the biblical worldview is so different than paganism, isn't it? The pagan said, you know, life is just the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune wasn't just a game show that comes on weekday evenings. For the ancients, it was the way they saw the world. You know, life's just one big game of chance. You grab on and you spin the wheel and you might hit the jackpot, you might get bankrupt, you might lose a turn, whatever. It's just wherever it goes, where she stops, nobody knows. And strangely, a lot of people live with that sort of pagan mindset today, right? Oh, you know, it's in the stars. You know, if luck works out, this might happen or that. That's a pagan worldview. But the Christian worldview is that the world is steered, again, guided by a personal and directing God. And his care extends in his creation to the slightest details. We could say that God is a micromanager. His hand is in every detail. He watches not only over human beings, but all creation, all creatures, all their actions. Maybe you know in Matthew 10:29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, for a very small price? Can two birds be sold for a very small price? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. If a sparrow falls, a bird falls in the field, God provided that. He was in charge of that. But in addition, he has a special eye on his saints. Even as a mother has a special eye on her own children when they're out in the market or on the playground. The mom goes with her children. There may be 100 kids on that playground, but who is she looking for? She's looking for her children. And he has a special eye on his children. In Matthew 10:30, Jesus said to his disciples, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
The Lord knows every hair and every follicle on your head. The Catechism affirms that God's providential actions are guided by what the Puritan Thomas Benson called three properties of God's providence. His actions are most holy, wise, and powerful. They are most holy in that they are set apart and distinct according to his character. They are most wise in that they are perfectly fitting for the circumstances and the timing, and they are perfectly designed to achieve the greatest end and the highest good. And they are perfectly powerful. That means they are absolutely effective. Vincent adds that the Catechism notes there are two parts to God's providence. He is a preserving God, as Psalm 36:6 says, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. And he is a governing God, as Psalm 67:4 says, thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Two of the other proof texts in the Catechism are Nehemiah 9:6, which says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Psalm 103:19 is another proof. The Lord hath prepared his thrones in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now, finally, the Catechism stresses that the Lord's providence is exhaustive. It guides all his creatures and all their actions. And just as I said earlier, that the doctrine of providence, the biblical doctrine of providence, eliminates the notion of chance or the wheel of fortune, it also eliminates all categories of luck. And, you know, I became convicted of this years ago, but I've just basically tried to eliminate good luck from my vocabulary. I don't say good luck anymore. I'd rather say, you know, God bless you. But just eliminate that from your vocabulary, because that's sub-Christian way of thinking. It's not by chance. It's not by luck. Thomas Watson said, the falling of a tile upon one's head, the breaking out of a fire, seems to be casual or accidental to us, but it is ordered by the providence of God. Things which seem to fall out casual or by accident or by chance are the issues of God's decrees and the interpretation of his will. Someone might object, doesn't this mean then that God is the author of sin? When men do sinful things, does that mean God has provided that? Does that mean he has caused that? The answer, of course, to this is no. God does not make men sin, but he does permit them to sin. And when he permits them to sin, he's all the while also restraining that sin. And he even can redirect man's sinful deeds towards ultimate good ends. Another person might object, well, if God is good and he's sovereign and his hands are on the wheel of history, steering all things, why does he allow so many bad things to happen? Maybe you remember the Rabbi Kushner's book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? It's an awful book, by the way, if you ever read it. If you read the book, Kushner he wrote it on a popular level. If you're a theologian, you read it, you can tell he's been influenced by what's called process theology. And his view of God, even though he is a Jewish rabbi, not all rabbis are equal, you know. Many rabbis are like liberal Protestant ministers. They've been trained in liberal rabbinical schools and seminaries. And anyway, if you read his book, it's not the God of the Old Testament that he's talking about, but his God he's a really good God. He's just not very strong. And he really tries to do the best that he can. But sometimes things just get out of control. And he tries to do the best that he can. And that's why bad things happen to good people. He's really sorry about that, and he's trying to make things better. That's not the sovereign God of the Bible. But somebody say, well, why, if your God is so sovereign and he And he has his hand on the steering wheel of history. Why does he allow bad things to happen? And Thomas Watson used this analogy. And not many of us today would have seen a blacksmith shop, but it would have been a common scene for Watson. We might say, perhaps we could update it to say a mechanic shop or something like this, or maybe not thought, maybe even the dentist, I don't know. But he says, suppose you were in a smith shop and you should see several sorts of tools, some crooked, some bowed, others hooked. Would you condemn all these things because they looked not handsome? The smith makes use of them all for doing his work. He concludes, thus you see God's providences are wise and regular, though to us they seem very strange and crooked. And so these the crooked providences are God's tools that he uses to shape in the end something that is good and glorious. Elsewhere, Thomas Watson says, God's providences appear to us as a checker work or intermingled. So he says, in hell, there could be nothing but bitter, and in heaven, nothing but sweet. But in this life, the providences of God are mixed. It's a checkered work. There is something of the sweet in them and something of the bitter. But one day, ultimately in heaven, it will be for those in heaven all but sweet, or nothing but the sweet. Knowing that God is at work in all providential circumstances gives the believer grace and hope not only to endure crooked providences, but also to thrive and to grow. Watson says, believer, does any affliction befall you? Remember, God sees it is that which is fit for you, or it would not come. And then he says this, your clothes cannot be so fit for you as your crosses. You hear that? Your clothes are not as made, tailored to fit you as well as God has tailored your crosses to make you learn more of Him, love Him more, depend on Him more, glorify Him more. He has tailor-made your crosses. If God superintends all creation, and he knows when a bird falls in the field, think of his special care for his own dear people, his own dear saints for whom his own son tasted the death of the cross. How much more does he provide for us if he provides for the flower of the field and the bird of the air? Watson said, surely, if providence reaches to our hairs, much more to our souls. And then he said this. This is my last quote for Thomas Watson. He said, the church is the apple of God's eye and the eyelid of his providence daily covers and defends it. We are the apple of his eye and the eyelid of providence daily covers and defends it. Do you know that God is watching out for you? God is caring for you. Do you hear that, children? If there comes a time when you're discouraged about something, God cares for you. And He is ordering all the circumstances of your life for His glory and for your good. If there are things you run up against that are difficult, that are hard, God's there. He's providing. Don't worry. He's providing. He's providing. He's there. He's watching over you. Don't ever forget that. Okay? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you do uphold all things by the word of your power. And, Father, you take care of us. You know every single hair on our head. And, Father, through the works of providence, You are supplying everything that we have, and you have a special care for your dear saints, even as a mother does for her children. And so, Father, help us to be aware of that and not to despair when we go through crooked providences along the way in life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.